Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello there, I'm Alice Oliver, and you are listening to Just Films and That, the podcast that celebrates films we think might be underrated or underseen. It was Josh's turn to pick the film this week, and he went with Lara Croft Tomb Raider from 2001. So, let's see what we thought. So then, Josh, as I said, you chose this week's film, Lara Croft Tomb Raider from 2001. So, spoiler warning, listeners, if you haven't seen it. So, Josh, tell us, what is the film about and why did you pick it?
Oh, I'm excited. I've been excited for this one.
I'm excited
to see what you think of this.
Go on.
So first of all, it is Lara Croft Tomb Raider from 2001, not the more recent one. This is the one with Angelina Jolie that we're talking about. So the plot, well, Angelina Jolie plays Lara Croft. She's a Tomb Raider. She goes around the world raiding tombs. Mm-hmm. It's based on the popular game series, and that's basically what it's about. I'm not going to go into it anymore. Lots of puzzles and traps and a MacGuffin and a plot device, and everyone's trying to get the thing to get to the place to save the world.
Lots of bad guys going, whoa.
Yeah, a lot of that. A lot of bad guys with Machiavellian plans and all that. So why did I pick this? Well, So I remember enjoying this as a kid. I remember watching it like on video or whatever when it came out, thinking it was like a good action film. And a few weeks or months ago, I can't remember, it was on telly.
Oh,
and you know when you just find yourself getting sucked back in?
Right, yeah.
And you think, oh, I'll just have this on whilst I eat my tea. I'll just have this on while I do this. And then you don't turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, God, I didn't realize I'd still enjoy this, like,
okay,
20 years later. Mm. And so because of the podcast, as we both tend to do sometimes, because we're always constantly thinking of films to do for episodes, I looked at the critical reception and I was pretty pretty shocked at how poorly
shocked.
Rated it was.
What a dramatic word. He was shocked,
yeah,
listeners.
I was. So it got pretty battered by the critics, which I never really knew.
Mm.
So that's why I picked it. It's why I think it's underrated. It's probably
not
underseen, but I think it is critically underrated. Now, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but I'm proper... I can't decide whether you'll absolutely hate this or whether you might actually sort of love it a little bit.
Think those are the two options, yeah?
No, because there's always a middle ground, isn't there? Which is probably...
A nice gentle grey
area.
Yeah,
it might be. You might be in the grey. Have you seen it before?
Are you leaning one way or the other?
I don't know. Because if I think about other films you've picked, and the sort of... I think you might really like this.
Okay.
But I also wouldn't be surprised if there were some elements of it that really pissed you off.
Mm-hmm.
But I could also see the stuff in there. Like, for example, I reckon... You might quite like the music.
Oh, that's an interesting take.
Because there's a lot of house and garage and you quite like that sort of stuff, don't you?
Interesting that you bring that up. Maybe that's in one of my piles of notes.
The likes or the dislikes, I suppose, we'll find out. So had you seen this before?
No, I hadn't seen it, but I had heard of it and I did know that Angelina Jolie was in it. I also had a sneaky suspicion that Daniel Craig was in it, and then he was. And
I was like,
why do I know that? How have I seen that? So yes. But no, in terms of like, so my expectations were pretty low going in.
I thought,
is this going to be a bit naff, a bit rubbish or whatever? But you know what, Josh? I actually thought it was pretty okay, you know?
Yeah, okay.
I didn't love it, but
no.
I definitely didn't hate it. And
didn't
I reckon... My likes list is way, way longer than my dislikes list.
Oh, well, I'm happy with that then. I'm happy with that. Like you say,
you
it's not always love or hate, but I'm glad there's more positives than negatives. So then
definitely.
What did you like then? Because I had some things I thought you would like and some things I thought you wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, I know you did say the music And I did love the music. I thought it was atmospheric.
Basement
I thought
Jack.
It was dramatic. Oh, yeah, the two songs at the end, because it was that, and then it was another one as well, quite a popular one. I can't remember what it was now. But yeah, I thought the music was great. So yeah, in general, sounds great, but it looked great as well. I loved some of the stylistic choices, the set design, the prop design. The opening sequence, I think, is brilliant with Lara doing like this training drill. And I really enjoyed the music that they used there. And there was lots of use of like silhouette and shadows. The camera work and the framing, I also thought was really on point, and you felt like it was really intentional. And it was almost as if every shot could have been a photograph. And I wonder if that's the video game inspiration coming in there.
Did you play the game? Have you played the games?
I didn't play the game. I definitely saw it, so I feel like maybe my brother played it
and I'd seen it.
So I know what that the game looks like,
but no,
I hadn't played it
that.
Myself.
Yeah, that sort of dusty, shadowy aesthetic, isn't it? Because it's so I've not like religiously played the games. I have played them like a little bit, but not loads. But you can definitely see stuff in there that is like the games, and they've put lots of stuff in there. Is a wink and a nod to the game. So like she does
she does
the thing that's quite famous in the game. So she does a backflip and takes her guns out at the same time. She does this role where she changed direction. So she does that in the game. There's a few other bits as well. I think the butler, the most famous thing most people know about Tomb Raider is in the third one. You can follow the butler around and like lock him in the fridge and you can't kill him. So if you try and shoot him, he puts a dinner tray up.
Okay,
and it seems like it's this like indestructible dinner tray. And it's just one of those things that became a running joke of like, oh, the things you tried to get to do the butler.
Lock him in
this big walking fridge. And in it, he does do the thing where he lifts the dinner tray up as a little nod to the fans.
And then
obviously it's a platform game where there's a lot of problem solving and puzzle solving. And I think what this doesn't get enough credit for is that I think that comes into it. And there's a really good sense of escalation in the films of like, you do this, which leads to this, and it escalates. So like you solve the part one of the problem, but then loads of stuff comes out and tries to kill you. So then you got to beat that while solving part two and escaping at the same time. That's very gamey, isn't it? That's like a very gamey aesthetic, is like solve X to get Y, and then Z happens.
Yep, definitely. It was really fast paced, I thought, visually. So it was lots of quick cuts and the camera is moving an awful lot. And I think that they did it really well, and it just made the whole thing like you felt like you were really there along with the ride, and it didn't feel like there was really much of a lull at any point. There were a couple of different vibes I was getting from it too. So at times it felt quite Batman-esque in terms of the characters and the plot points and the narrative drivers. The combat and some of the imagery I thought reminded me a bit of The Matrix and of Equilibrium. You know, it's very motorbikes, cars, metal, bullets, guns and computers.
Yeah, leather jackets
Some of the
sunglasses brilliant. Indoors.
Oh, so many sunglasses, right? Angie was always in some sunglasses. And I reckon the CGI was pretty good as well. And hasn't aged too badly at all.
It's not bad. There's some films from this area where like, it's like The Mummy Returns. There's the bit where The Rock comes out. So there's a bit where you can YouTube it. It's often considered to be one of the worst pieces of CGI of all time.
Dear.
And The Rock comes out as the Scorpion King, and it looks like a PS1 cutscene.
Oh, God.
And it's definitely aged, hasn't it? It's definitely like, it's 2001. You know this is not modern CGI, but it's not like, God, this is bad. So I think you're right. I think there's some good stuff there. What do you think of the action in it as an action film?
As an action film, yeah, I thought it was really good. So one of my points here was that there was a lot of long sequences without any dialogue at all. Usually the action sequences or some travel sequences. And I like that they weren't just fully relying on the dialogue to tell the story and trusted the visuals and the sound alone to keep the audience engaged. There's one moment where the whole gang are traveling to and in Serbia, and there's this great group wide shot of them walking along with massive helicopters moving around in the background, and this just looks so brilliant and so dramatic. I did think as well Daniel Craig and Angelina Jolie both gave really good physical performances,
and not just
in terms of the action, but also some of their facial expressions. I mean, 10 out of 10 for facial expressions from both of them.
A lot of good facial expressions in this.
Yeah, and I think because the way the music was and how it was edited along with the action, it was really enjoyable. Like, it didn't feel tired at all. And there were some great moments, like when we were in Lara's house and, you know, the action that was happening there, or like when we were in Serbia in like this secret lair or whatever it was. Yeah. So we had a few good different locations. You know, all those guys are breaking into Lara's house and stuff, and that was all very big and dramatic. And I thought it was pretty good,
I think a lot of it, Daniel Craig's great in this, he doesn't have loads to do, but I think a lot of it is on Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's in most scenes, mm-hmm. except for the odd bit with the villains. And I think she's really, really good in this. I think she's a really good Lara Croft. I think that she absolutely nails the action side of it and the physical side of it. I think she does get the character right based on from what I've seen in the games. She does get the accent right as well, I think, which is quite important. You know, we've joked before about Americans doing English accents. You know, Keanu Reeves and Dracula, and I know where the bastard sleeps and all that. But I think she's pretty good in this. When I watched this, I was like 11, but I didn't know she was American, which is usually a good sign.
Yeah, certainly.
But you know, I think she's really good in it. I think she really nails, like, particularly the physicality of the character. And just to see her just battering dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she kicks the shit out of some henchmen in this.
Yeah, it's pretty satisfying.
Yeah. I bet, like, and as well, there's not that many female-led... Certainly at this point, there wasn't that many female-led action films. So it's...
Yep.
Is it before Resident Evil? It's before... I'm trying to think of other ones like Mad Max Fury Road. There isn't that many female-led action films. Wonder Woman, do you know what I mean? And I think this is pretty... I think it's pretty cool to see a badass Lara Croft just laying waste to dudes.
Yeah, and it's not... There wasn't too much of a focus, I felt, on the fact that she was a woman.
No.
There was the odd thing with her and her butler, who is Rimmer from Red Dwarf.
Yes, it is.
I just thought it was funny.
Chris Barry.
I haven't seen him in anything else but Red Dwarf, so that was funny when he turned up. But he said, you know, he was saying something like, oh, you know, that's not very ladylike, or you need to do this to be more ladylike or whatever. And she was like, yes, well, I suppose a lady would. And there was the odd thing like that, but it wasn't a huge focus. And it wasn't like, oh, she's a woman, she must be weak and puny. And oh, can you believe a woman is doing this? And it's like, oh, not her, a woman. Yeah. Like, it was more focused on Lara Croft, the person, not Lara Croft, oh, she is just the woman sort of thing. That's how I felt anyway. But my expectations with stuff like that are pretty low, especially with films from this time.
20 years ago or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
So what else then? What else did you like about it? I'm really glad that you liked it.
Yeah, I did.
I'm really glad.
I really think there was a lot. I came away with an overwhelmingly positive feeling, and I didn't feel like... You know, I didn't feel like you'd wasted my time making me watch this.
Especially
this
when it's always nice when you go in with lower expectations and come out like, oh,
it is actually.
It wasn't painful.
Green Lantern, I think, Exhibit A right there.
Passengers for me.
Oh, yeah. And me too, actually, with Passengers. I've got long as well. So I know we touched on a little bit there, the cast, but I think the cast is brilliant. So obviously Angelina Jolie and Daniel Craig, but we've also got Ian Glenn, who I absolutely loved in Game of Thrones, Rimmer from Red Dwarf, like we said, Chris Barry, which was just so funny. Like, I've never seen him in anything except Red Dwarf. And then is it Julian Rhyne Tutt? Forgive me if I'm not quite
saying
his name
properly.
Yeah,
the guy from Green Wing. He's like
his smarmy. But he's brilliant, isn't he?
He's the bad guy's like smarmy, sarcastic assistant, isn't he? You got Noah Taylor from Submarine in there as well.
Oh my God, was he?
So her guy in the chair, her IT guy, is the dad in some submarine.
Oh my God, of course. He was unrecognizable, but now that you say it, now I can see it.
Yeah, you got John Voight. So Angelina Jolie's
actual dad playing her dad,
yeah, which is quite a nice little touch, I think. And again, he does an all right British accent.
I can't say I noticed his one as much. So we'll move on then to talking about anything that we perhaps didn't like about the film or anything we would change. So, Josh, where's your head at with this? What are you thinking?
Oh, I see the song from the film.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was totally on purpose because I'm really smart and I write all my own jokes.
That is why you get paid them big TV dollars. The broadcasting ability.
Dollar bills.
Okay, so most of what I liked was to echo what you said. Now, there is things, it's not perfect. It's a bit of its time. It's a bit daft in places. It's a bit cheesy. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't mind a lot of that because I do think it's definitely got its tongue in its cheek. It's not being serious. Do you know what I mean? It's not. It knows what it is. Mm-hmm. But there are a few conveniences of like plot devices just appearing,
of course.
Dreams happening to, to explain stuff, convenience things. You know, like, for example, there's an action scene, probably the one of the best action scenes, where, like you alluded to before, they break into her house to steal something and she takes them all down. And it's a really good action scene. But for some reason, she's on a bungee.
She was training, right? She was doing her jumping around, sort of acrobatic training.
How is that helpful? Like, she's on a big bungee on a chandelier. Why is she bungee jumping in a house, Alice?
I assumed it was some sort of physical training, you know?
But she can't jump that high without the bungee, so what use is it?
It's useful for if she ever finds herself in a circus tent and the bad guys are near the top and she has to get up there. Obviously, Josh, so come on. I shouldn't have to explain this to you.
But that's, you know, I really like that action scene. It's almost balletic. It's almost like a dance in places. But there is an element of, like, they've obviously thought of, it's in that stage of, like, what can we do?
Let's make this happen.
You might not have seen it, I don't know. But, like, if you watch Mission Impossible 2, they very much went, I'll make it a kickboxing one. It's a kickboxing one. And then there's loads of random kickboxing scenes in it.
Okay.
And loads of, like,
you.
Doves and motorbikes and flames. And it all sort of looks a bit like a music video in places. Mm-hmm. And there's a touch of that with this, which is like, someone's obviously gone, really cool action scene with a bungee jump. And then gone,
let's make it happen.
How do we put it in the film? She's just there. Like,
she's just practicing. Yeah, she's just practicing her bungee.
She's got two guys who work for her, and they're quite happy to set up a massive bungee for her on a chandelier, and she just jumps up and down. So there's a few bits of convenience like that. There's a couple of cliches as well. Like, for example, at one point, I think she finds herself in Cambodia or Indonesia, and lo and behold, she ends up at a Buddhist monk temple.
Oh yeah, and they give her some mates with the monk,
and they give her some magic healing tea, and it's a bit like,
and the scar on her arm disappears.
It's a bit cliched, you know. It's a bit.
Here's a cool fact: a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact: you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A bit convenient in it. It's a bit, but I guess really, I don't really mind that much because
it's just
very,
stuff you notice.
It's like, I suppose in games, there's plenty of games where you drink some sort of magic potion and you heal. So maybe that's
of course,
version of that.
And I guess it's in parts where they've tried to translate the things that are happening in the game into the film.
Yeah,
but because when you're in a game, I think you suspend your disbelief a little bit more, don't you? And you accept that as full fantasy because you are Lara Croft.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I have been injured. Obviously, I need to be healed. But when you're watching the film, there's that slight disconnect.
Because you're watching it, not being it.
So you're not as immersed. So I think it is a bit more difficult to suspend your disbelief.
And I guess that's why they probably say it's so hard to make a video game film.
It's so hard, isn't it, to make it work?
Because the immersive nature of a video game, you know, it's so much different to watching Even if you take something as simple as like FIFA, mm-hmm. well, playing actual football and playing FIFA are massively different, mm-hmm. but they do their best to try and do things to make you feel like you're immersed, but you can't be actually controlling the character.
Yeah, and so it is
difficult.
Yeah. It is difficult. And I think everyone's experience of the game and the things that they feel while they're playing the game is obviously very unique to them. It's like when people say, you know, oh, the book was better than the film. Yeah. And it's like, well, yeah, of course it was, because you imagined the book.
You've coloured
like,
in the pictures.
You
with
created
the book, haven't you?
That. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So if the book is doing its job properly, the book will always be better than the films, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it is your version of the story. Because,
yeah.
And that's why I think quite often it's people will often say, I don't know, I'm a lot of people are different. I would always rather, if I'm going to do both, read the book than watch the film. Because mm-hmm. I've read books before where I know who's in the film, and I still put, you know, Daniel Radcliffe as Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can't help it, because someone's done it for me, and ultimately your brain is lazy and will cut corners and do what it can to save energy, won't it? So anyway, so there was that element of stuff with this sort of being a bit cheesy, bit, you know, there's a lot of like, there's a lot of, sort of cheesy dialogue and stuff like that, but I didn't mind so much. One thing I did want to ask you about, other than that, there isn't loads. One thing I did want to ask you about, and I'm a bit on the fence of this, is one of the criticisms I have read is that it's a bit gratuitous when it comes to her as a character. Now, I will concede that they hammer you over the head with this. She's not a lady thing. They do a bit of that. Like you said, the butler's always on her to be a lady, and there's a few elements of that sort of side to it. And they over-egg the pudding a little bit on that. But in terms of gratuitous, so apart from one bit where she's in the shower, I don't really feel like there is a lot of gratuitousness in it. I mean, you see far more of like Thor film.
We're talking in terms of the nudity and perhaps the sexualization of that character.
Yeah. So, and that's obviously something that we could open up a can of worms here, but that's something that the character is associated with, which is like an over-sexualization of the character, you know. All this talk about how big her boobs are, how little her waist is, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure we could talk about, and many, many people have done so. But I remember there being an element of this, of them saying, you know, it's a bit gratuitous. Her costumes are a bit gratuitous. There's that shower scene, which, you know, there is a bit of that, but there's almost the exact same scene with Daniel Craig.
That's exactly what I was just about to say, because obviously when that shower scene with her is happening, you know, it instantly my mind does always just go to, oh, yeah, here we go. Not really adding to the narrative, but we just need to see the pretty lady. But then because Daniel Radcliffe is then doing the same and his scene seems to last a little bit longer.
Daniel Craig.
Did I say Daniel Radcliffe? Yeah. I was wishful thinking, Alice.
We'll cut it.
Daniel Craig, my other favourite Daniel. So because he...
Would you rather it was Daniel Craig in the shower or Daniel Radcliffe in the shower?
You know what? I respect both men too much to answer that question. Thank you, Josh.
We'll put it out to the listeners. Who would you rather see in the shower?
So I think because his scene lasted quite a long time, he's then running around the place naked and wet. You know, the woman knocks on the door, she sees him naked. Yeah. Lara Croft then also sees him naked. So he is subjected to a bit of that as well. I'm not saying that's great, you know, maybe we shouldn't be objectifying people all the time, but it was equal.
Yeah.
We did have Lara and then we had him.
And I don't think it's completely pointless. But I don't think it's like pornographical gratuitous.
I've seen worse.
Yeah,
I've seen way worse.
Yeah, so I disagree when it comes to that. But anyway, that's about it for me on the dislikes.
Yeah.
I suppose the things I don't like about it, I also sort of do like about it because it is very tongue-in-cheek, but there are flaws to it. And a lot of that is down to how it's aged and the fact that it's a bit cheesy and the way it's written. It's very much a 2001 blockbuster, isn't it? But
yeah, totally.
What about you? Is there anything you didn't like?
So there was a lot of whispering. Which was a bit annoying. So I know I said before that I enjoyed, obviously, the sequences without dialogue and trusting your audience to follow along. But if you are going to talk, I want to be able to hear what you're saying, please. There's a lot of, oh my God, my dad left me this letter. And it was all like this. And I was like, oh my God, speak up. You're driving me mad. So it was a bit of that. You know how I feel about the chewing gum thing? I feel a bit similar with the whispering. I don't like it when people whisper.
It's a bit of a blockbuster thing, isn't it, where characters are all gruff.
I'm being very dramatic.
A lot of characters are always like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. In blockbusters in particular, there was always a lot of that. I don't know if they just think it's atmospheric, but...
The call's coming from inside the house. Yeah. That sort of thing, isn't it?
I can stop you. It's all that.
Yeah. It was just like, stop, speak up, man. Pretend you're in the theatre.
Yeah, if it was... It was like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you just say you could stop me? Did you just say you could stop me?
So I wasn't totally thrilled with Daniel Craig's American accent.
Ooh.
And I really liked his performance in general. Like I've already said, his facial expressions, his physical performance was brilliant, but his American accent was just bad. And I wish they hadn't made him do it. Like, you're in London.
Yeah, there's no
you're
reason
surrounded
for him to be
by
American,
British people. What is the point?
Because she's English, so maybe she might not have, probably has been to America, but...
But why? Why does he have to be like that?
I've never even thought about that. Because he's not, as far as I know, he's not even a character from the games. He's a love interest Is he a love interest? He's a character that's been written for the film, so...
He's kind of got a history, it feels like. Yeah. And, you know, there's a tiny bit, and I quite liked the film for this, actually, but there was a tiny bit of a will they, won't they, but it was never all-consuming, and it was never the main driver of the narrative, which I liked. So, yeah.
And they don't run off into the sunset together at the end.
No, exactly. But, you know, he was brilliant otherwise. I wasn't as sold on Angelina's British accent you are. Okay. I do think it was perhaps a little bit too pronounced, if you know what I mean. But that's hard. It's hard when you're doing an accent that isn't your own. So I let her off. Again, didn't ruin it for me. And there was just one sequence, really, that really annoyed me. So when Lara's reading a letter that her dad has written to her, we're getting some visuals of her dad. And the visuals were of him writing the letter. And this just went on for far too long. Like, I get that they needed to get all the info that was in that letter out in the open and for the audience to be aware of it. But I feel like there could have been a more sophisticated way of doing it.
It's a bit of an exposition dump, isn't it?
It is. It's a bit too much. And about halfway through, I was bored and I was like, this is too long. And the way he was speaking, it felt like every time he got to the end of his sentence that was the end, but the words just kept coming. And I just would have liked him, I would have liked the film to have worked on this a little bit more and maybe to work the information into the story in a different way. And that was really the main standout part for me that I didn't like.
And that bit is really whispery as well. Okay. He's like, my darling, Laura.
Take care, my darling. Say, Lara.
Can raid some tombs, my daughter.
It's Daddy, John Voight.
I am John Voight, your dad in real life, and everyone in the audience knows that.
Yeah, it was just a bit too much. Like, do something different. Show me, don't tell me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I guess maybe that comes down to who it's for. Maybe it's for younger.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, there's definitely a lot of teenage boys enjoying this in 2001.
But apart from that was it, you know? Didn't hate it. Thought it was okay. So we'll move on now then to talking about the critical reception. And Josh has picked this one because he thinks it's underrated. So that's interesting. So I haven't seen the critical reception, Josh. Should I hazard a guess, do you think?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Give us a guess.
You think? The vibe I get from you is that you think it is pretty underrated, but you've already sort of, we've alluded to the fact that we know it's not perfect, but that it doesn't deserve perhaps the battering that it got.
It doesn't.
So I'm going to say that it maybe got a low 5. Ooh. And so I'm going to say 5.1 or 51% Rotten Tomatoes wise.
And what?
I reckon
what
that's what it got.
What would you say? Is that, what would you?
You know what?
Like, is it better than that?
I think it's better than that. I'd nudge it into the 6s, maybe into the high 6s. And it's funny, you thought I'd like the music and I really fucking did. So, and you know, I've been battering many films' music on the podcast. So for me, when there's a good score and a good soundtrack that I can really get my teeth into, I'm like, oh yeah, sick.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'd nudge it into the high 6s, I reckon.
I'd probably give it that as well. It's not perfect, but it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's good fun. It's tongue in cheek, and it doesn't deserve the battering it got. Now let's have a look. So
go on.
At the time of recording,
give it to me.
At the time of recording, stop whispering. It's annoying.
Sorry, I can't help it.
At the time of recording. At the time
no,
of recording.
Don't do it.
At the time of recording, it gets 57% on IMDb. So not too far off what we're saying. But then we go over to Rotten Tomatoes, Alice, and then it really takes a dip.
Ooh,
the audiences give it 47%. So 10% worse than IMDb.
Yeah.
But the critics, I'm afraid to say, give it 20%.
That's criminal.
I think so.
No.
So it averages out 41% based on those three scores.
Fucking hell. 20%
bullshit
from the critics.
That for me.
Are you mad? Didn't Green Lantern get 20% or something similar?
Something like
That's
that.
That's weird.
I think this is, it's not perfect, but it's not 20% bad.
And in no dimension is this 20% bad.
And some of the criticism was very much like, oh, you know, Angelina Jolie carries it well, she does the action well, but there's no story. It's like, there's fucking loads of story in this.
There's a bit of story. There's bad guys who want a thing. Lara wants the thing.
She wants
we need
thing.
To make sure they don't get the
you
thing.
You know, she goes to the place and she hits the guy with the bike in the face. She shoots the screwdriver at the guy.
They go to Serbia. Yeah. You know, what else?
She has a shower. Daniel Craig has a shower. We all have showers.
Not Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe's not in this.
He notoriously doesn't shower.
Yeah. So are we saying underrated then?
Oh, definitely, man. Right. Definitely. Definitely underrated.
It's definitely underrated. Okay, so there we go. Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, sliding on into the underrated vault with all the others. I'm happy about that. It's one of the.
Yeah.
I'm usually happy when we put a film in there, but I'm particularly happy about this because I think that's so harsh.
I think I'm really surprised, honestly. When you think of some of the films we've done and some of the scores they've received, I am really surprised by that.
For me, I read some of the comments and I felt that there was a snobbery about it.
Oh, isn't there just though with the critics?
And it's like,
oh.
Anyway.
No snobbery is allowed on this podcast.
It's not what we're
Every
about.
Film is welcome.
The only thing
we
can
give them all
snobs
a chance.
About is whispering and
chewing gum. The least favourite thing.
People doing accents when they wouldn't be
bad accents,
but accents when they wouldn't be speaking in that language in the film. Anyway, we'll be back next week with another film. So very much looking forward to you joining us then. Thank you as ever for listening to us. If you'd like to give us a suggestion for a film, it's justfilmsandthatpod@gmail.com.
Yeah,
if you do get the time, we'd really appreciate it if you could give us a little review or rating on wherever you get your podcasts, really. Apple, Spotify, all the usual places, wherever does reviews, really. And we're on all the social medias. If you just search for Just Films and That Pod on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, we're always there with something or other. We're always trying to keep you entertained with lots of content. Speaking of content, we're also on the television, Alice, aren't we?
We are indeed. We are on the local TV network every Friday from 6 p.m. So if you live in Birmingham, Bristol, Leeds, Liverpool or the northeast of England, you can find us on Channel 7 on Freeview. Or if you live in North Wales or South Wales, you can find us on Channel 8 on Freeview. Or if you've got Sky, you can find us on Channel 195 across the country. So that's every Friday evening from 6 p.m. on the local TV network.
All that remains to be said then.
I knew you had a feeling you were going to do something like that.
All that remains to be said is thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week. Cheerio.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.